This Bible talk, titled What Matters Most, is on Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. It's the seventh sermon in our series Rescue on the Letter to the Galatians, and it was given at Robina on Sunday the 27th of March 2022.
Do you ever feel inadequate? Do you feel like there's something missing in your Christian life? Do you feel like you need something more? Maybe something less of what you already have? As you look around at the lives of other Christian people, do you feel like something's missing in yours? Do you feel like you just don't measure up? Like you're a little bit underdone? When we measure ourselves by the wrong standards, we feel inadequate about our relationship with God. But what matters most isn't what we do. What counts is the new creation, faith expressing itself through love. In his new small group on Wednesday nights, Danny feels like he doesn't measure up. He's not sure if he should keep going anymore because he doesn't know his Bible very well. But Gary does. Gary keeps talking about the Greek text. Gary prays awesome prayers. Gary seems to have all the answers. But Danny feels inadequate. Danny feels like he's missing something. Katie compares herself with Jenny. Jenny is the minister's wife. Jenny always looks amazing, beautifully dressed, hair immaculate. Jenny is an amazing cook. She's always baking or cooking something for someone. Even by minister's kids' standards, Jenny's children always seem so very well behaved. Katie doesn't do any of those things. Katie isn't any of these things. Katie idolises Jenny, but she feels terrible about herself. Tony's just returned from another short-term mission. He's always tripping off somewhere, New Guinea, New Zealand, India, Indonesia. Tony's been there and he's done that for Jesus. His heart is for mission and so is his money. Tony lets everyone know how important mission is. Peter wants to be a missionary. Peter wants to be just like Tony. Tony seems to have it all together, but Peter can't seem to get it together at all. Peter struggles to read the Bible. Peter struggles with his ongoing sin. He struggles with his own emotions. He tries to control his emotions, but they just seem to control him. And so naturally, Peter struggles with his wife and his kids. He struggles with the people that he works with. Peter looks at Tony and he's encouraged. Peter looks at himself and he's discouraged. And all of us are guilty of it, aren't we? We've all coveted thy neighbour's life. Sneaking a peek at what others are doing, having a look when they aren't looking. When we compare ourselves to other Christians, we'll always find inadequacies within ourselves. Like we don't measure up. Like we're missing something. And so the latest Courant catalogue arrives in the mail. The church that advertises itself on TV. That church with the nice building and the better parking plans and facilities than we have. The one that appears more fuller and more fulfilling. We all want more than what we have. We all feel like there's something missing. But when we measure ourselves by the wrong standards, we feel inadequate about our relationship with God. But what matters most isn't what we do. What counts is the new creation. The new creation that expresses itself through love. Psst, hey, listen up. What if I could offer you a shortcut? What if we could fast track some of this Christian growth for you? So that when you measured yourself against others, you didn't feel inferior or inadequate or angry anymore. What if we could do something together right now, today, that would increase your godliness? Would you be interested? Well, try this new fast-acting circumcision, guaranteed to increase your godliness. A clean slate and a clean skin. It'll leave a mark, but it'll mark you out as God's people. Take that, minister's wife, Jenny. Take that, Danny, Gary from small group, Tony for the missionary. Committed enough to bleed, that's how committed you are. Friends, this is what the agitators were selling to the Galatians. This is what they were telling them. Now that you've come to faith, you need to do something. You need to be more religious. Do you want to belong to the people of God? You need to become religious. You need to get circumcised. But Paul's been telling them and us for five chapters now that we're the children of God, that we're the children of Abraham. We are the children of the promise. The Spirit of God now living within us, we already belong to the new creation. Rescued from this present evil age, what counts is faith expressing itself through love. And so he asks, why would you go back to old rules and regulations? Why go back to external distinctions? Christ Jesus himself has redeemed us from the burden of religion. And so Paul says, stand firm then in your faith. See it with me, chapter 5, verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You've been set free. So why go back to being burdened? You've been redeemed by Jesus himself, says Paul. Why go back to the law? You've been born again, born anew. So why go back into prison? Circumcision isn't the sign of sonship. It is the symbol of slavery. It's old news. Yesterday's outdated update. It's not good news. It's no longer relevant. Obligated to obey the whole law? No one can obey the whole law. Paul even said all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. And so justification, being right with God in a right relationship with him, doesn't come through the law. It comes by faith in Jesus Christ and not by our works. The law doesn't guarantee the promises of God. The law, it kept all of us locked up, remember? So why be burdened again? Why become slaves again? Why be obligated once more? Christ has set us free, so stand firm in the freedom of your faith. Maybe the Galatian Christians were feeling inadequate. Maybe they felt like they didn't measure up. And who could blame them after the stunt that Peter pulled at Antioch? How many other believers were led astray by Peter's actions, Paul asks? What kind of example is that? Paul gives the answer, it's religious hypocrisy. But you know, even if you do feel inadequate, even if you feel like you don't measure up, if you put your faith in the hands of these agitators, if you submit yourself to circumcision, then Christ becomes of no value to you. It's like Jesus died for no purpose at all. He is of no advantage to you. And so you see, Galatians, it's like this: faith or works, spirit or slavery, Sarah or Hagar, Christ or circumcision, Jerusalem or the heavenly Jerusalem, the present evil age or the new creation. It can't be both. So which is it? Because if you seek to be right with God by circumcision, you're severing yourself from Jesus. Now look, friends, I don't want to be rude or inappropriate today. I know that some of you know that I push puns and wordplays sometimes to the limit, maybe sometimes a little too far. But I want you to see the full picture of Paul's painting here. You got your Bible there? This is what the apostolic word is actually saying. Persecuted for preaching Christ, not circumcision. Paul says he's risking his own skin here. If you let yourself be circumcised, says Paul, you've severed yourself from Jesus. The word severed in verse 4 literally means limp, idle, ineffective, and impotent. You've cut yourself off from the grace of God. And no man I know wants to do that, do they? Now, I'm not trying to be funny or controversial with my words. This is actually what Paul is saying. When we measure ourselves by wrong standards, we feel inadequate about our relationship with God. But what matters most isn't what we do. Look there, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. It's not the first time Paul says there is neither nor or no to the Galatians, is it? Remember what he said back in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. The words are on the screen behind me. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. It was circumcision that marked out the Old Testament people of God. Jews were differentiated by the Gentiles by circumcision. It's what marked them out as belonging to God's people. But those differentiations are now gone. The point of the old distinctions is no longer in existence. Old distinctions of the flesh and in the flesh belong to this present evil age. But Christ has redeemed us from this present evil age. He's delivered us into the new age, the age to come. We've been made new in this new creation. And so divisions along ethnic and gender and religious lines, and dare I say it, even our age and our worship preferences, count for nothing. It's not the first time that Paul says this to the Galatians, and it won't be the last time he says it to them either. See it with me now, Galatians 6, verse 15. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Love is the expression of the new creation. That's what counts in the new creation. The old distinctions, they don't count anymore. The old order of things, it's passed away. Jesus is making all things new. That includes you. And so what counts now is faith being expressed through love. You see, faith is the means by which we enter into the new creation. Faith is the doorway into God's kingdom, everlasting kingdom. And love is the expression of the new age, that the new age has entered into us and that we have entered into it. So why be circumcised? Why keep the Sabbath? Why abstain from certain foods? Why insist on obedience to the law? Why rely on good works to define your relationship with God? Why is it that we allow our good works, our good deeds, as good as they once were or are, to determine our current value and worth before God? Why do we do it? Let me tell you why we do it. Because it's easier to give the impression of being religious than it is to show that we belong to the new creation. It's a lot easier to follow religious observances and easier to maintain religious traditions and practices than it is to really love other people. It's a lot easier to do things for God than it is for us to grow in our love for Him. It's easy for us to tell other people about the love of God than it is for us to accept that God really loves us. It's easier for us to tell other people that God loves them than it is for us to actually commit to loving others ourselves. At least if you get circumcised, you've probably got something to show for it. But when you love other people the way that God loves us, then there isn't really much to show for it, is there? Because love is hard and it's difficult and it's messy work. It's just like belonging to a family. Because love like God's love for us, is a love that gives. Look there, chapter 2, verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Nothing to show for it, because love gives it all away. That's what life in the new creation looks like. That's what faith expressing itself through love is. But it's much easier to carry on with pompous ceremonies than it is to carry one another's burdens, isn't it? It's easier to submit to rules and regulations than to humbly submit to one another in love. You know, you can keep up all the external appearances, but you can't fake the inner work of the Spirit of God. The Galatians have been bewitched. They've become fools. They started off well, they were up and running a really good race, but now they're trying to finish it on the wrong track. They've gone completely off course. I want you to see their derailment with me in verse 7. Galatians 5, verse 7, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. Someone cut in on them. Someone cut them off. Whoever it is that's cut in on them, whoever it is that's bewitched them, whoever it is that's persuaded the Galatians, whoever it is that's thrown them into confusion. And sometimes when we get knocked sideways too, we can find ourselves lost and stuck. And it's at that point that it's easy for us to blame God or blame the church, but Paul is very clear here about who it's not. It's not the one who called you. That kind of persuasion doesn't come from God. God's gospel calling on our lives doesn't bring confusion, but more certainty and clarity about who we are and where we're going. God's spirit within us creates order out of our darkness and our chaos. So it's not God who's confusing them. It's not God who's bewitching them. So who is it? Paul hints at the answer for us in verse 9. Won't you see it with me? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now what's he talking about? Why is Paul suddenly talking about bread? In the Old Testament, leaven was seen as something as evil. The Israelites were not to have leaven in their bread. Yeast was not to be found in their homes. Leaven was to have nothing to do with their celebrations. You'll remember Jesus talked about leaven too, didn't he? Matthew chapter 16, verse 6. Jesus said to them, that's the disciples, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But like us, the disciples thought Jesus was talking about bread. Chapter 16, verse 11. How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to become aware of the leaven of bread, but the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Do you understand, friends? Do you understand what's going on here? These men, they are false teachers. And so Paul says to them, be on your guard. They're imposing their law and their traditions on your freedom. And that kind of persuasion, it doesn't come from the one who calls you. Look again there at the passage. I want you to notice how the one, it's the one, not the many. The one who is throwing you into confusion. And Paul talks about the agitators, plural. So there's more than just one of them in Galatia, isn't there? So who is the one that Paul is now talking about? Who is the one trying to persuade you? The one trying to confuse you? The one who bewitched you? The one trying to alienate you? Who is he? The one who severs you from Christ? The one who's trying to cut you off from grace? The one trying to rob you of your freedom in Jesus? The one trying to blind you from seeing Christ publicly portrayed as crucified? Who is he? Tell me. The one telling you that you're now inadequate? The one telling you that you don't belong here? The one telling you that you don't measure up? Who is he? Now, friends, we're talking here in new creation categories, aren't we? Remember the new age, the new Jerusalem, the new creation, the new Eden? Who's the one trying to sever you from God? Who's the one trying to take away your freedom in Christ? Who's the one Paul's talking about here? See it with me now, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the other wild beasts of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? It's the same old one trying to throw you into confusion. It's the evil one up to his same old cunning stunts. You need to do something more. Jesus, he's not enough. He whispers to us in the darkness, doesn't he? Trying to get you to doubt God's word, making you question again and second guess his spirit. Being right with God comes by faith in Jesus, not by our works. We are in a right relationship with God because of what Jesus has done. Friends, you have been set free. Psst. Hey, listen up. Did God really say you don't have to be circumcised? Did God really say you don't have to rely on the law? Do you see how he works? We all want more than what we have. We all feel like we're missing out on something. But when we measure ourselves by the wrong standards, we feel inadequate about our relationship with God. But what matters most isn't what we do. What counts is the new creation, faith now expressing itself through love. When you compare your life with others, you will always feel inadequate. Inadequate about your relationship with God. We will feel like we're unlovable and we're unlovely, that others are more loved than I am, more preferred than me. You'll feel like you're missing something, missing out on something. But I want you to listen to me very carefully now. This is how the evil one tricks us. It's why the Galatians were lining up for circumcision only to find themselves cut off from God. But it's love that brings us into the new age. He loved me. He gave himself for me. And so love is the expression of the new creation. It's love that transforms and changes us for the new creation. It was love that gave its life for you, my friend. Love is the expression, the life-giving expression of the new creation. A new kingdom that we enter into, yes. But the identifying mark that the kingdom of God has entered into you is love. Because God's love for us has set us free, we've been given a freedom to love others and not to compare and not to compete and not to contrast ourselves against them anymore. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Free from our obligations, free from restrictions, comparisons and measurements. You've been set free from your anxieties, your inadequacies, your fears, your doubts and your deficiencies. We get to call him Abba Father. We're all his children. And so we love one another, friends, because we are the people of God. And we love one another because our relationships together are more important than the size of our problems. And so together we stand firm in our freedom in Christ because we're free to love others in this messy, sometimes confusing, difficult, maybe frustrating new creation family. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've marked us out for the new creation. That the new creation has not only entered into us, but we have entered into it. And that's happened not because of anything we have done, but because of all that Jesus did for us. Thank you that his death changes the time, that we move from this present evil age into the one to come. That judgment and condemnation is no longer ours, but we are free, set free because of your love, love that gave itself for us on the cross. And so we pray now, Lord Jesus, that having entered into the new creation, that your new creation work would continue to enter into us, transforming us in our deepest places, changing us and renewing us to become more like Jesus, raised and glorified. Thank you that that is our promised future. Thank you that no one can take that from us. Thank you that Jesus has sealed it for us once and for all. Would you help us then to move towards one another in love, not in comparison, not in competition, not in contrast, not to make us feel better about ourselves or to make others feel less than they are, but to stand firm in the footing and in the freedom that we are your children. Given your Spirit, we call you Abba Father. Would you help us to love other people from that place? A place that moves towards others rather than protects ourselves. Would you help us to move towards one another rather than trying to defend or argue? Would you help us to move towards one another, Lord Jesus, as you continue to move towards us? Transform us, we pray. Renew us, we ask, that we might be your people because we are marked by love. Love that gave itself for us. Love that gives of ourselves to others. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.